Hello, everyone. This is Fahim Jackson, and it's episode 119 of my podcast show, In the Know. This podcast is aimed at trying to guide people through the world with a variety of topics. I'm also using this platform to ask questions and try my best to answer these questions with viewpoints of the world around me. The following episode introduction speech is for the topic of today. And that introduction speech is regarding this: how to follow religious laws in our modern day society. If you open up the Bible, for example, and start to read, you'll notice no matter the Old or New Testament, the laws that stick out in the Bible, the laws that will govern the masses who follow. Now, what about Judaism, Islam, and you know what? I'll try something new, Buddhism. They all have their own laws written for people to follow. And as you move through our society, today it's quite difficult to follow everything 100% of the time. So you will sin on a daily basis sometimes without even knowing what you're doing. And when you realize following the words 100% is just not possible. Now, don't get me wrong. Most of the Bible is difficult to abide by, but there are principles you can live by. So with this episode, I hope you all gain some sort of insight into why it might be difficult to follow the rules of a religious text fully. So listen and enjoy. Let's start with some ancient laws. Where? Let's look at some Greek ancient laws. When observing the legal life of a time period, you'll notice that around 4th, 5th century BCE, there were three dominant factors. City-states, which each administered its own set of laws, the laws that were written out in statute form, and the absence of jurisprudence, science of law, comparable to that of the Romans. These laws were very well written out and established, so much so that until today, a lot of nations from around the world hold titles that started during the reign of the Greeks. There were doctrines that were in similar alignment to that of the Romans, for which we would discuss next. As for the Greeks, depending on the case and a trial, there were special committees like murder trials. These cases were handled by an aristocratic council of Athens named Areopagus. Positive laws of ancient Greeks had little influence on later developments. Now let's look at the Romans. When observing the Romans, these laws started with the founding of the city around 753 BCE until the fall of the Western Empire in the 5th century CE. Roman laws affected Western laws even after the fall of the Roman Empire and throughout the continent of Europe and East. That's right, Roman laws stretched over countries that never experienced Roman reign. In the reign of Roman Republic, there were developments of the law. Jus civil, which is civil law, was the first law that was applied to Roman citizens, and jus gentium, law of nations, which came about later and applied to both Roman and foreigners. Roman law originally was based around the principle of personality, meaning law of state applies to citizens. As for foreigners, at one point in time, they had no rights unless there was a treaty between their nation and Rome. Otherwise, the person could be confiscated like property. Yet even with some of these nations with no treaty, Rome had a strong commercial interest that gave foreigners also rights as well. There were also written laws, jus scriptum, which meant custom and unwritten laws, jus non scriptum, based on any other source of legislation. With regards to the written laws, five main ones stuck out. Legis, which was the enact of one of the assemblies over the Roman people. A second written law was indicta, which is a proclamation issued by a praetor on judicial matters. The third written law is sententias consulta, which is the resolution of the Roman Senate. The fourth is constitutions, principum, which were the legislative power of the emperor. And lastly, and fifth law, was responsa perdunum. And this is the legal questions given by learned lawyers to those who consulted them. So as you can see, these are just a small number of laws from Roman times. Let's look at some of the Egyptians. Laws in Egypt early on were based on harmony, a central cultural value instituted in the beginning of time by the gods. Being at peace with one's self, one's community, and the gods will take place. When you live a life of consideration, mindfulness, and a balance and accordance. Since the law was founded on divine principle, and those principles are beneficial to all, then transgressions were punished severely for these transgressions. Like a lot of countries today, the laws in Egypt function quite the same. Meaning laws agreed upon by expert men in their field, a judicial system which weighed evidence of infractions and of those rules, and police enforce rules and bring transgressions to justice. The judicial system legal structure had a hierarchy that had the king at the top, representatives of the gods and their divine justices, and the vizier, whose role was the administration of justice. Now let's look at another kingdom, the Ottomans. During this reign, the canon, or rule, tabulation of administrative regulations during the Ottoman Empire that supplemented the Sharia, which is the Islamic law. Sharia is the only law in an Islamic state. Yet in early Islamic states, more practical concessions were made prior to the spread of Islam. Laws were more so up to the rule of the leader and applied in separate administrative courts. Under Ottoman's rule, distinctions between Sharia law and administrative law disappeared, codified as canons and canonums. Now let's switch to religion. Let's look at the laws of the Torah. These are the religious laws that are different from the laws of the lands. These are the covenants laid out by God, a promise made to God by the people on Mount Sinai. Laws were given to people through Moses from God. These rules would be punishable by God if disobeyed. The laws were known as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is follows in the book of Exodus. Do not have any other God. Do not worship idols. Do not disrespect or misuse God's name. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your mother and your father. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not tell lies. And do not be envious of others. Now look at the laws of the Bible. In regard to the Christian Bible lies the commandments, but also other passages which are used as a legal guidance for how one should walk through the society. And yes, the Bible does not focus strictly on non-secular laws, rather laws of God as told from a Christian standpoint. But the law from the Bible did not have considerable effects on the legal system of the world. Let's observe some laws of God. And God's rules are the rules, his kingdom, and the way of life. God's laws define righteousness and sin, all ways to our benefit, and laws are not burdensome. The laws also extend into the areas of food we eat. Both clean and unclean animals are from the old covenant, law done away with after Christ was nailed to the cross. There are also two other laws that are spoken of, ceremonial law and civil laws. Ceremonial law is part of a daily life for ancient Israelites, teaching them principles needed to keep the law. So outward rituals were meant to do inward rituals. Now, civil laws were created as a means to aid in physical nations functioning. The national laws and punishments can't be fully implemented or enforced outside of a nation under God's control. Now, let's look at the laws of the Quran. In the Quran, the main source of laws come from Sharia. These are the rules to which the Muslim world is governed and forms the basis for relations between man and God, between individuals, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, as well as between man and things which are part of creation. Sharia is God's command for Muslims and constitutes a system of duties that are incumbent upon all Muslims by virtue of their religious beliefs. Sharia is much wider in scope than Western laws, where Sharia regulates the individual's relationship, not only with the neighbors and with the state, which is the limit of most other legal systems. An integral part of the Sharia law is the ritualistic practices, daily prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and pilgrimage. There are also ethical laws one shall follow, which are connected to the conscience that follows should refrain from doing. Followers should refrain from doing. But over time, people's interpretations of Sharia have changed rules around which veers away from its continuity. Social pressures can also affect how one shall go about practicing Sharia in the past, in today's modern era. Now let's look at a religion that I haven't really focused on as well in the past, and that's the laws of Buddhism. Here is something that I have not discussed, and that is the Buddhist religion. This religion is one of the largest religions in the world, founded 2,500 years ago in India by a prince, Siddhartha Gautama, which is a belief that says Being human is one experience of suffering, and that meditation, spiritual, physical labor, and good behavior are ways of achieving enlightenment or nirvana. As for the laws of Buddhism, there aren't the same types of laws that Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Buddhism is more spiritual means of living that are based around concepts. To name a few of them, you're encouraged to refrain from taking a life, refrain from taking what is not given, refraining from misuse of the senses, refrain from wrong speech, and refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind. Now, when you hear these beliefs, you can't help but to see the connection between Buddhism and the other major religions. Now, it is funny that I called the laws of Buddhism concepts, but in Buddhism, they call them precepts. Concepts are something that is conceived in the mind, while precepts regulate the thoughts and behavior. So language is very important in understanding how you have to live in Buddhism. But in society, we live our daily lives around the laws of the land. And here's why we'll cover more laws from an American perspective, because I'm an American. So let's look at the laws of this land. As for living here, the laws of the land are written, starting with the forefathers of the country. The spirit of the country came out of the year 1776, which marked the year of the Declaration of Independence. Since then, laws have been written and ratified to match the current standards of our society today. And many of the laws came by way of a relationship with Great Britain, but also Roman times. We still hold titles from the times of Greeks and Romans, such titles as senator, governor, congressman, mayor, and alderman. And these are people who hold political office, who write laws and interpret them to the masses. These laws are to be held above the laws of God. Now, we try to correlate the laws of the land with the biblical text. Such laws as thou shalt not steal and kill, which further justifies punishing the crime. Because if it's in the Bible, then most certainly it can be justified somehow. No, it's to further get more compliance from society. And the government gains that compliance sometimes from a place of fear people have of dealing with another person. God is a belief system. We don't know if God exists, but there is more than just the laws of the land. They come from the land that is the parents. Let's look at the laws of the parents. I myself am not a parent, but I do have parents, and there must be a respect that the parents have from the child or children, which puts them in a power position. It's a power position that they should have because the child is their responsibility, but also because there is a biblical connection between parent and child. The Bible says for the child to honor our parents. Now, our laws might be different depending on the household we were born in. I was born into a household where my mother set the rules of the house, which didn't come from the Bible. She might have been inspired by the Bible, but her rules came by way of social construction, a social construct where rules were passed down from generation to generation. So with all that has been said, what is the right for the person? The laws of the land, the laws of the parent, or the way of the religion? What is the right path for the person to take? For a lot of people, we tend to self-govern ourselves. The Bible is a very inspirational book, as with the Torah and the Quran, or scripts written in Buddhism. So we use these texts as a means to better understand our lives. And what should we do? Live by the laws of what? See, in my opinion, I think the laws of the land should prevail, while the laws of the religious texts should keep you morally sound. Some people may look at that from a different perspective. They would say the Bible governs them, and they follow the words of God, yet keep the laws of the land close by. Then when you live in a place like Saudi Arabia, then the Quran is law. But for the sake of the topic, let's observe where I live, in America. The United States is the laws of the land, influenced by the Bible to an extent. And that is tough because so many people want to live by God's words, but man has so much influence. At the end of the day, it's still man's words over God's. So if you're God-fearing, that can be hard. So with this end statement, why we have to figure out how to live in a modern country and follow religious laws. With all that has been said, what are we going to do about living in such a society where rules are changing and we're forced to go against the words of religious texts? I say we can only use the beliefs we have as a roadmap to live our lives. Because if we try to live the ways of the Lord, then we're going to have a tough time living. Then again, there are some great templates for how to live your life from a religious text. Why? Well, because these scriptures aim at trying to aid in people trying to move through life in the most positive way possible. Now, with so many belief systems, which one should you follow? usually the one that you were raised under. It's all about trying to figure out how to survive with your belief in society where the laws of the land reign supreme. Thank you for listening to In the Know. I'll be bringing you another episode regarding religion. That topic will be asking the question, can God and science occupy the same space?